You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What up, everybody?
What's going on?
We've totally forgotten
how to record.
We've forgotten everything. Skype hates us. I forgot my intro. Like, this is just all over the place. Welcome to Clock Radio Speakers. Back in the building, your boy back on the map. You know what I'm saying? It's your boy William A. Holla, a.k.a. Armand Wake Up, a.k.a. the Million Dollar Man Ted Sleazerassi. You know what I'm saying? I'm in here. I said I was bringing back We in the House. I'm not doing We in the Building. I've been on my 90s kick. We in the House.
We in the House.
Yeah, We in the House. Audi 5000, G.
All right, whoever was actually tuning in, we've already lost, like...
Oh, no, they're hype with us. I hear mad Jamaican air horns and dogs barking and flex bombs. I hear them. So we here. We in the building. We in the house. What up, Doc? I ain't got to introduce you. What up, Doc?
Oh, what's going on? First of all, you should check out the show on Twitter, at CRS Podcast. You should check out the show's website, clockradiospeakers.com. You can check us out on 4th District, 4thdistrict.com. We got SoundCloud links. We're on iTunes. Facebook. We're not on Instagram. We're not on Pinterest. We're not on Tinder. We're not on LinkedIn.
Nah.
None of that.
We in the streets, though.
Something like that. Where can the good people find you on Twitter?
At Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word.
And anybody who cares can find me on Twitter at @Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Uh-huh. So we took some time off.
Yeah, man.
Last everybody heard from us previously on Clock Radio Speakers. It was a world before the NBA Finals. It was a world before Future had an album out, before Meek had an album. A whole lot of things happened. It's been a little over 2 months, something like 9 weeks. I don't even know.
Our childhoods were also ruined. Shattered.
So many ways. Yeah. So obviously we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to catch up on. We're not going to even try to cram in what happened over the summer. So there's a lot. What I do want to talk about is some of the things that we did, some of the things that we paid attention to. And then, yes, if you are tuning in, we are obviously going to talk about what's going on with Drake and Meek Mill. So Armand, what have you been up to this summer? You put out some music?
Little stuff here and there. I think I put out History on July 4th. Thank you for everybody. Thank you to everybody for listening to that and spreading the word on that. I'm working on, and you don't even know this, I'm working on 3 projects right now. Marcus Graham is done. Little tweaks here and there, but we're shooting videos and all that stuff. I got a video shoot. I'm shooting 2 videos this weekend and another one at the end of the month.
You making a Zuvi?
I'm making a Zuvi. Several Zuvis.
What was the 90s term for that?
I don't know.
I think it wasn't really like that.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was just we're shooting a video.
Land Cruisers, Lex Bubbles. You renting them all?
Q45 Infinities, of course. Of course. So working on 2 other projects in addition to that, including an album. I've made some really, really good connections and network behind the scenes that really you guys don't care about but are very important to me and my music. I'm rejuvenated, got to spend time with my kids, man, and do the dad thing and not have to worry about rap and albums and all that stuff.
I'm
rejuvenated, man. I'm happy to be here. Didn't Jadakiss have a song called Happy to Be Here?
That sounds like a Jadakiss record.
didn't it sample, like, was that the record that sampled Bruce Springsteen?
Oh god, see, now you're gonna make already, man. I don't even know how long we're in. Happy to be here. You're gonna hear me type.
I'm just gonna play it. You know me.
Yeah, that's a Jadakiss record.
It is. I remember that.
Is that from Kiss of Death?
I thought that was Kiss the Game Goodbye.
Nah, Kiss of Death.
Death. Hold on. I'm about to play it. Jadakiss put out a single this year? Huh? Didn't know that. That's not Kiss of Death.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the. I'm on Spotify. It's not on Spotify. Mm.
Maybe you're right.
Kiss the Game Goodbye.
Okay. Well, Rap Genius was wrong. Thanks a lot, Rap Genius.
Never mind. Nah, it's not on Kiss the Game. So maybe the sample didn't clear and they couldn't put it on Spotify. So never mind. Joke ruined. That's it. I'm in here. What's going on with you, man?
Working. went to a weird music festival in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was really weird to watch on your Instagram.
There's a lot of weird stuff.
We need to do an episode on just that.
But saw Francis and the Lights perform with the brothers from Ink as his guitarists and the Social Experiment as his backup band. That was pretty cool. They were really, I mean, considering that they like were willing to come up from, it was in Wisconsin, they were willing to come up from Chicago just to do that. And then they had to head back down because like 2 days later, they were back in Chance as he was at like the Pitchfork Festival or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a great performance. I saw some good performances. It was nice to get out of town, nice to get away. Of course, when we went up there, it was like the hottest weekend of the year.
Of course.
So you know, outside of the music festival, it was like 90 degrees the whole time, but life.
Now, did you and your wife have the hats with the fans attached to them?
No.
Or the hats with the drink holders on them with the straws?
No. Have you been to it? Have you seen what you would consider festival wear? Have you seen what happens at festivals? There's like a whole subculture of what people wear to festivals.
No, I just saw t-shirts, cargos, and flip-flops.
It's about right.
Okay.
It's about right. No, man. So, had a good summer, you know, messing around with some music, trying to, ironic that you're getting ready again. Cause I'm trying to get ready again.
Fam.
Mm-hmm.
Fam.
Yeah.
Listen, and John, you sit, man, it's John, you sit. I already got a verse to it.
I figured you, I mean, I heard, you know, it was one of those things you put it together. It just feels good.
Yeah. That was really, really dope. So,
yep. Anyway.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about what we missed this summer. Let's run through some things real quick. So at some point, maybe we could pick a week where there's not a whole lot going on in the near future. Ironically, we should talk about your boy Future.
Ba-dum-psh.
Because DS2, at least on a mainstream level, kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sold a lot of records.
Yep.
It's not Future, like Turn Off the Lights Future. It's not Future with Sierra. I mean, he is sort of in a different stage of his career now, but he has a ridiculous fan base now.
Yeah. So, it wasn't a Twitter thing. It was like a Twitter thing that turned into something, it seemed like.
Well, and we could save this for a future episode, but to me, he is another example of like, there's a portion of, I don't know if it's a portion of hip hop fans, or I don't know if it's just something that people generally respond to, but people love work ethic.
Yeah.
Right. Like the legend of Pac, like recording all those songs, like what happened with Wayne in the mid 2000s. Like if you go on this sort of run, there are people who will like you just for the run, regardless of the music.
Right. Right.
Because you're putting it, you're grinding.
You're grinding. Yeah. The gristle.
Right. So I think Future's kind of fascinating. We should definitely talk about him further at some point.
All right.
I'm down. Your boy, The Weeknd.
Yeah, Abel kind of, we wrote him off.
We wrote him off. He took, you know, he sat on those three mixtapes, came out a year later in 2012, and basically repackaged them up, remastered them. Then a year later, he had Kissland, which aside from a Pharrell remix was pretty disappointing.
Yep.
And next thing you know, he's got a record on 50 Shades of Grey, blows up, huge single. Now he's got, what's that?
I was agreeing with you just how much he's blown up. Yeah.
Right. Can't Feel My Face is gigantic.
Still haven't heard that record.
I don't even know how that's possible. Are you like out and about? Like how?
Easy. Like, listen, you get to a point where like you tune everything out just by default and you only listen to what you intentionally listen to. Like, I seriously have not heard the record. Like, seriously.
It's a dope record. He is not going to be sad, mopey Weekend. He wants to blow up. He wants to go pop.
Yeah. And I don't know if you read the New York Times article on him.
I did.
Yeah. That totally co-signed what you said. He's trying to be like a pop guy.
Right. And so far it's working.
Does he have like three singles in the top 10 right now?
Oh,
I thought it was Earned It, Can't Feel My Face, and another record.
No way Earned It is still in the top. Like that. Just,
I mean,
right. Can't Feel My Face is number two. The Hills is number 11.
Hills. There we go.
Right.
That's crazy.
You know, it's him and your boy Fetty. I mean,
Fetty Wap.
It's gonna make me sound really old, right? But that is a phenomenon I do not understand.
That's gonna be the theme of this episode.
I don't understand what's going on. No, really. Like, it's a really interesting story of why. Hot 97 pushes him like crazy.
Well, he's from Jersey.
That's right. And they wanted to be early on him, so they sort of bet on him big. But yeah. Hot 97 is just Hot 97. So that doesn't explain how Trap Queen and My Way are both in the top 10.
They're summer records. They're very lighthearted.
Right.
You can sing along to them because, again, you know, Fetty can't sing, but he can sing. So, you know, people feel comfortable belting, you know, right. Maybe to come my way at high volumes if they don't have to worry about pitch and tone.
I've been waiting the entire summer to hear you imitate Fetty on Clock Radio speakers.
It's just not going to happen.
Oh,
it's just not going to happen. No. There's no Fetty Wap music to hide my lack of singing. So.
Oh, he just kind of sounds like Ja Rule in pain. Like,
nah, you're not going to disrespect Jeffrey Atkins like that.
No, like, not on the song Pain. Like,
no.
Like, physically, like, he stubbed his toe and he cried out.
Where would I be without my baby?
Yeah, now add some real anguish to that and you've got the hook to My Way.
Anguish. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fetty Mania is running wild.
take your vitamins.
Yeah, take your vitamins, say your prayers, all that good stuff, man. What else is going on? Because I ain't go front, man. I had a very small palette of music that I listened to this summer, and that's where my focus was. And I would find stuff out just by happenstance, but I really didn't pay attention to a lot of music this summer. I really didn't.
We had the 10th anniversary of Thug Motivation.
Yeah, did you watch that concert?
I didn't. Did you?
Nah, I didn't either.
It was on Tidal, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the problem with Tidal is that, like, if they're only going to have these things, like, once every month or two, I don't know how they're going to keep people subscribing. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds weird, but we'll talk about Apple Music in a minute. There's a battle of, like, exclusives, essentially, at this point.
Yeah.
Exclusive content. And they're going to have to do more than just, like, a televised concert every couple months.
Yeah.
Right? One thing I want to get your opinion on.
Oh,
might be starting something up. When did we all decide that Thug Motivation 101 was a classic? Because I believe I missed that.
Nah, it was a classic for what it did and what it represented. So, okay. You know, like, I think the Trap or Die was... I enjoyed Trap or Die. I enjoyed Trap or Die more.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with that. Yeah.
Well, because you forced it down my throat for like 6 months. Like, did you listen to the Jeezy yet? Listen to the Jeezy yet? Aim Direct Connect. Here, listen to the Jeezy.
putting up Grey Goose as my away message.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yo, it was a certain time in a young doc's life.
I can tell.
I was living that life. There was a lot of Grey Goose happening.
I can tell.
So you think it's because it represents a certain thing for Atlanta?
Absolutely. Well, not even for, I mean, Atlanta, but then in the grand scheme of things, like hip hop, like TM 101 did a lot for Atlanta and for the South. It's one of those staple albums, staple Jeezy at that time, Snowman shirts. There's just a lot going on that tied into what was going on in the South.
Right.
And TM 101 is like one of those statues that you'll see. So yeah, people will say it's a classic.
What's interesting to me about that is to read all the stuff surrounding the album after, you know, after the concert and afterwards online, people sort of try to portray the album as like, that's when, and this is going to sound crazy now, right? But like, that's when quote unquote New York really like paid attention to what was happening in Atlanta. And I remember the point at which I thought that the tastemakers, the media elite in New York really were like, oh, this Atlanta thing is not a trend and we might have to actually play it on New York radio. And that moment was T.I. What You Know.
Still one of the greatest singles of the 2000s.
It's an amazing single. It's an incredible beat.
Yeah.
The clean edit hook is so way much better.
Yeah, way better than the explicit.
I listened to the explicit the other week and I immediately started doing the, hey, oh, and then I was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Yep.
But regardless, I know we do this all the time, like where it's like once an album gets to a certain age, we all go, oh, it's a classic.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Eh, Thug Me Division 101, it was a good album, I guess.
Yeah, but you're looking at it in terms of music, and I think it's mm-hmm. more so impactful. And then I think, like, you could look at the singles, you could look at, you know, there's a lot of other factors whether besides the fact of was it a perfect album or was it even a great album. There's a lot of other factors that go into it that make it a classic album for a lot of people. So
it's not even Jeezy's best album, is it?
No. The Recession is far and away Jeezy's best album. Yeah, the recession is crazy. So, you know, are we going to have a Recession 10-year anniversary? Probably not.
Right.
So I doubt. Speaking of, I lost my point.
Never mind. Speaking of anniversaries?
Yeah, speaking of anniversaries, man, we missed you.
Cuban Links?
We missed 20. After watching on Periscope. I watched some of the concert on Periscope. I turned it off and I got mad and turned it off.
Why'd you get mad?
I mean, it was one of, like, I was, number one, was one of those things you got to be there. And yeah. Then, fortunately, but unfortunately, I think there was all those computer glitches in New York.
Mm.
So Ghostface wasn't in Columbus, so it was just Raekwon.
Right.
So I felt a little better. Like no shots to anybody, but I'm like, hey, you know, I wanted my Raekwon and Ghostface experience. I wasn't able to get that. It was just a Raekwon experience. I can sleep a little better at night knowing that. So
they did a show in Boston. They did two shows in New York, and they did them all when I was in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
I remember consoling you.
But, yeah, 20th anniversary, Only Bit for Cuban Links, which, if you've ever heard the show, nobody stands harder for that album than I do.
You have to see somebody.
I consider it the greatest album ever. But it's one thing that made, you know, comparing and sort of contrasting the reaction, like how people treat that versus, like, say, what Jeezy did for 101. I feel like we're, like, our culture's in a different place now than say on the 10th anniversary of Cuban Links. Like on the 10th anniversary of Cuban Links, all anybody really wanted to know is Raekwon gonna make a Cuban Links 2? I feel like whether it's a combination of sort of, you know, people being able to like live stream like reunion concerts or sort of in a weird way the impact now that the recap article has on how people view these events. Like, yeah. You have this big event, and then there are a couple people who do really good jobs at recapping them afterwards, and that shapes how people view the event. Like, none of this was in place 10 years ago for the 10th anniversary of Cuban Links. And I only bring that up to say, like, when I saw the live footage of Ray and Ghost at Coachella, they did not appear to be sharp. That's the word I'm going to use. You know, they're getting older. Maybe some of the energy isn't always 100% there. So I'm mad I wasn't there, but also at the same time, like when I hear Ray and Ghost, I will always hear them how they sounded in 1995 and 1996, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We hinted at this a little bit before, but we should talk about Apple Music.
Yeah. Well, you should talk about it because it's not out for Android. So.
It's not out for Android yet. So Apple Music has been out for like 5 or 6 weeks now.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So Apple introduced it early June. At an event that, and the Apple Music portion of it was kind of a disaster, actually.
Was that WWDC?
WWDC was kind of a disaster. Jimmy Iovine got up there, and let's just say he did not sound practiced or like he really knew what was going on. I've actually written, like under my government name, I've written a couple like blog posts online talking about Apple Music because I think it's really, from just like a software point of view, never mind like the service behind it, what they're trying to do is really complex. They're trying to solve a lot of different problems. Like the very presence of Jimmy Iovine there, like really kind of informs a lot of, I think, what they're doing. Because so for those who don't know, Apple Music, yeah, it's streaming, but what it really is, it's like iTunes plus the old Beats streaming service, plus a new radio thing they're doing, plus what they're calling Connect. And those all live essentially in one app. If you have an iPhone or an iPod or an iPad, it lives in the Apple Music app. If you have a PC or a Mac, it lives in iTunes. That is a lot of functionality for one app. That's one problem. Another problem with Apple Music is like, and this is actually a weird problem that Apple just has in general. There's like, they are trying to solve problems for like the mass market now, right? Like they think that the mass market is ready for the move to streaming.
a lot of the people who cover Apple cover them from a technology angle, and a lot of these people are getting older. I'm going to generalize here, but needless to say, a lot of the people who traditionally blog about Apple online and who sort of shape the conversation about Apple, these are not people who really care about streaming. As far as they're concerned, Apple Music means I go to iTunes and I buy something. That is not reflective of the rest of the world. The rest of the world is moving to streaming. And Beats is actually still really good. So like all the things that I liked about Beats when I tried it out last year are still there. The curation and the playlists are still fantastic. I think it particularly lends itself well to hip hop, because hip hop, you have, you know, it's not so for like, say, rock, where it's not widely known who produces a rock record, right? Collaborations in rock don't happen as much as they do in hip hop. And why does that matter? The way that the curation and sort of the algorithms work for Apple Music, if you, you know, like a record that's produced by, if you like heart a record that's produced by Just Blaze, if you do that like once or twice, they'll suggest a Just Blaze playlist for you, right? Then you go through there, you pick stuff out. So like it's leading you on this journey to get you stuff that you really like. Like, you know, let's just say it gives me a lot of playlists involving The Dream, Raekwon, Just Blaze. Like it's honing in on the stuff that I want to listen to, and it lends itself really well to hip hop. The people who cover Apple online typically, they don't really listen to hip hop, so they're not seeing that. So it's been a funky rollout, but why it matters for hip hop is what they're doing with their Beats One Radio,
yep,
and what they're doing with Connect. So Connect is essentially, think of it as like SoundCloud plus Vivo, right? Okay. So it's like, I'm an artist. I want to put something up, like just on the fly, not submit it through the, you know, get it to my distributor so they can put it through whoever and get it up in iTunes and Spotify. Like, I want to post something. So it's taking on SoundCloud in that respect, right? And then you can do music videos. And actually, Apple has, they are like helping to direct and produce music videos for big name artists because they're trying to like seed content to go in there. Mm-hmm. So on the hip hop side of things, there've already been like two artists who Apple has signed up, who are really using Beats One Radio. So there's what Drake is doing with OVO Sound Radio. Mm-hmm. And there's Dre. We got to talk about Dre in a minute.
Also, you've also got Q-Tip. I'm hearing really good things about radio as well.
Q-Tip's got a show. Right, has a radio show. Ebro has a radio show.
Okay.
It's really, yeah, it's, I don't say it's hip hop heavy, but like they're trying to get it so that they're trying to get enough things going so that people feel like I should be listening to this right now.
Yeah, but I think what they're doing is, you know, even though you have a very general perspective, or you, the angle that you came at it from is a very general, I think that they are being very intentional about getting the youth, and I'm saying this in quotations, so they are feeding those of us who consume large amounts of content in the hip hop field on a daily basis.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think it's smart what they're doing.
Well, and when we talk about, I think it's smart what they're doing. We could talk about, I'll save my conversation, like my comments about how Connect works and stuff like that, because I actually think what Drake did and how that worked, that really ties into it. But
yeah, we'll talk about that later, right?
Right. But what I thought was interesting was Dre. Like,
yeah,
this is going to sound so cheesy. We literally all kind of forgot like about Dre when you think about, I know, I walked right into it. No, but like Apple Music, like Dre is an employee of Apple now.
Absolutely.
Nobody really thought, hey, I wonder if something will happen here.
Absolutely. We talked about was Kanye and Drake.
Right. We're all focused on everything else. And so Dre, out of nowhere. So first of all, he has a radio show.
Yeah.
I think it's most of these radio shows are bi-weekly, and they're getting enough of them so that it's like, oh, I got to pay attention. They're trying to get it so that it's like every week you tune in. And actually, and again, we'll talk about the Drake thing later. I think at least for the OVO Sound thing, I suspect after what happened last time, I think people will just tune in now.
Yep.
Like if they're going to drop exclusive, if they're going to drop new records out of nowhere, like people will listen.
Well, that's the thing about Drake's radio, Drake's show, because Drake both weeks has dropped mass amounts of exclusive music.
Right.
You know, in his set. And even I think what his show has done really well, because it also it helps him brand himself without using himself by using himself, if that makes sense.
So walk me through that one.
So basically what I'm saying is he'll play artists that he likes and you can tell that are shaping the current quote unquote OVO sound. And yeah, it serves as a Drake cosign. It also, you know, does the hip hop thing where artists who are at a certain level don't keep their ear to the street, but that he's actually picking up young talent and, you know, standing next to him. And he looks good by doing that. So, right, you know, if he plays an Armand Wake Up record, you know what I'm saying? Not only does it look good for me, it also looks good for him.
Right. You know? And Drake, I'm just going to put this out there. You don't even have to pay us. Like, you can really just play the record. Like, yeah, just it's all good.
You don't even need, don't get on the remix. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do none of that. Just play the record and just six. Just throw a couple drops on there and we good. I got some joints. I got some joints. I'm sitting though, so you know what I'm saying? Anyway. But Dre is more I'm Dr. Dre and I don't really speak a whole lot, but here I am with the radio station where I'm able to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the playlist. I guess Beats One has a Twitter account,
yeah,
that tweets out every song that it plays. So I was looking at the set list for Dre's show, and it, I mean, you know, it looked like a radio station. Like, and I say that to say there were no exclusives, anything
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
It's just, I guess I haven't heard it, but I guess it's more so within the content of the conversation and what Dre is providing.
Right.
That's the pull in rather than it's Dre playing new music. It's the fact that Dre is playing J Dilla records that make people go, oh, snap, I got to tune in.
Right,
you know,
right,
rather than Drake playing new unreleased records and putting them out on iTunes and having them go number one off of SoundCloud and a radio show.
Right. So speaking of, I mean, we sort of just danced around it, but Drake's putting out an album.
Yep.
So you and I, we were texting back and forth about this a little bit. Like, so we're recording this. It is Wednesday night, the 5th. Tomorrow night, they're going to play it live on Beats1 Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, and then immediately for 3 hours. I don't know. Nobody really knows how that works. We don't know if they're just going to play the album nonstop. We don't know if we're going to get like commentary by Dre. If that's the case, that would make that sort of a, maybe you don't want to listen to it live, but if you're going to want to play that back, I'm guessing there's going to be some interesting stuff there. And then it goes live on Apple Music and iTunes at midnight on Friday morning. It's called Compton, the album.
Is it the album or the soundtrack?
I'm sorry, it's the soundtrack. It is, this is his American Gangster, it seems.
I think that's a good angle to assume with that.
So the story is, wow, because I guess I didn't realize how involved he was with the Straight Outta Compton movie.
Yeah, the NWA was very much involved.
Well, you know, I figured that at the very least they might have to sign off on some things, but I didn't know how that would work. But they, you know, I know him and Ice Cube were specifically pretty involved.
Yeah, everybody was on set, like all of that stuff. Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube, they were very involved.
And by the way, that the movie's already getting really good reviews, so that's really that's interesting.
Now this is what I'm scared of.
Okay,
I remember the NWA era very well.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to go see it, but, you know, should I go to, like, expect something new? Sort of like with Notorious, like, did we learn anything new from Biggie in that? Or should I even be going into that expecting to learn something new?
I wouldn't go into it expecting to learn anything new.
It's just a nostalgia thing.
Maybe it's just a good story to tell, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But the story is that when, you know, Dre's on the set and he was inspired by what was going on in the movie, that he felt, you know, now is the time to make new music. So the music on it is presumably inspired by the movie. It's not strictly a soundtrack, much in the same way that American Gangster wasn't strictly a soundtrack.
Right, because American Gangster had a separate soundtrack.
Right, it was inspired by the movie.
Uh-huh.
So now, you and I love American Gangster. You yes, probably love it even more than I do.
Jay's second best album.
I think it's his third, so we can quibble over that. But what it allowed Jay to do, so that came out in 2007, 11 years after Jay first came out with Reasonable Doubt. And, I mean, has Jay put out, I mean, that was that Jay's last great project?
I'd say so.
Right.
I'd say so. It's put out good projects since then, but
nothing great.
And then, I mean, again, American Gangster is such a high bar.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, what that allowed Jay to do was, it was an excuse to rap about the stuff that he used to rap about.
It allowed him to, for lack of a better term, save face, because prior to that was when he was trying to make old young,
right,
and it backfired. He caught some flack for that, so he was able to kind of use American Gangster to kind of leverage a different type of image for him, and it worked.
Well, plus it allowed him to play a role.
Right. Well, that's what I meant by a different type of image.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, it let him get past what happened with Kingdom Come, and regardless of how you feel about it, it certainly wasn't well accepted by hip hop fans.
His worst album, which is crazy.
What's that?
That people consider that to be his worst album, which is crazy.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
First half of that album is tough. Go to the Jay-Z retrospective. I'm very curious. I'm curious to know what episodes you guys listened to during our hiatus. So, hit Doc and I up at Doc_Beats, S not a Z, at Armand Wake Up, at CRS Podcast. Just let us know what y'all listen to. If you haven't listened to the Jay-Z retrospective, one of the first episodes we did, where Doc and I tirelessly argued about Jay's discography, you check that out. Anyway, go ahead.
So it allowed him to rap about, I mean, for lack of, it allowed him to rap about the life of a drug dealer, right? Yep. Which it's what Jay rapped about on Reasonable Doubt. It's what Jay rapped about in his early years, right? Before he started rapping about success, and then he started rapping about retirement, and then he started rapping about
all the stuff that he could buy.
Right. So I compare the Compton soundtrack to American Gangster because, I don't want to hear, I really swear there better not be a single song on here like I Need a Doctor.
I doubt that.
I really doubt it too, but this allows for Dre to not only, it's an excuse for a man of his age to rap about the stuff that we all kind of secretly want him to rap about, as immature as it might be.
What?
We don't want to hear Dre rapping about family life, do we?
I don't want to hear him rap about steel. I don't want to hear, because it seems like all of the people who write for Dre, those are the only types of verses that they give him is still riding on 6'4s. I did the chronic. I signed Eminem. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a pretty decent Dre impersonation. I like that.
I don't want to hear that, but I guess that bears the question. In 2015, Dre can rap about absolutely nothing, but as long as the beats are dope, the song is put together well, and the mixing is amazing, we're good. I guess, right?
I mean, these beats have got to be incredible.
I think they will be. I think that this was smart for Dre because he can finally get the Detox Monkey off his back.
Yeah, he killed it. He was just like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And how easy was that?
Well, it helps when you say not doing it, by the way,
right?
Album dropping.
Sure. I would like to know, how far, cause I don't, I'm so inspired. I'm going to do an album, man. Dre had these records in the stash. I'm not saying that these are all old records, but I think Dre knew, hey, we're about to buy Apple Beats. Hey, we're about to put out an NWA album. It just makes too much sense for it to be as sporadic as Dre is selling it to be.
Maybe it is sporadic.
I don't want to be pessimistic.
You
shut up. I don't want to be pessimistic. I just, at the end of the day, I just want to hear a really dope Dre album. I'm very intrigued. I still say he produced How Much a Dollar Cost from To Pimp a Butterfly, and if it's anything like that, I'm great actually.
Yeah, to me, what'll be interesting, I mean, the most interesting thing about the fact that we're getting a third Dre album, although there are two songs that don't even have him on it, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
The first two, his first two albums really, kicked off different sounds, even though they weren't out of left field, but they were like, this is the Dre sound, and then it continued for a while. Like, if you go back and listen to, I actually did this, I listened to Been There, Done That. Right, from 96. He's laying the groundwork for what happens on 2001. But it's not till 2001 that it's like, oh, there's a new Dre sound.
Right.
Right. And then his work on The Firm, right? A completely forgotten about project. But
Have some joints.
You can see the, you know, some of that wasn't great, but you can see the groundwork being laid there. So what we haven't really heard from Dre in a while is anything different than big drums, some pianos. Like, is there, in other words, is there a third act for his sound? That's the most fascinating part about this.
I mean, but
if not, I'm not saying it's a disappointment, but the possibility is there.
Yeah, I mean, possibility is there for anything, but I think given his work with Kendrick recently, I don't think we have to worry about that.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I will lower my expectations accordingly.
I mean, I don't have any expectations. I'm just like, hey, a Dr. Dre album. I was not expecting that. Like you said earlier, we were focused on Drake, Views from the Six. We were focused on Kanye and So Help Me God, Swish, whatever he's calling this album. And Dre kind of snuck in like, my last album was The Chronic. and now we got a new Dre album, so I'm good.
We are obviously probably going to talk about this album next week. So can you do the entire episode in that fake Dre voice? Because that would be amazing.
What's going on? So you're going to be able to listen to it tomorrow.
So can you?
I don't have Apple Music.
You have a computer, right? You can download iTunes and listen to it. Like, it's not.
I tried to do that with, I think, what they put on? What did they put on iTunes Radio? Was it Mastermind or something?
Oh, that's different. This is a whole new thing. It's totally different.
So I need to upgrade my iTunes is what you're saying.
That's right.
I have not updated iTunes since 2011. Probably on like iTunes 6 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never use iTunes.
Yeah. Grab the latest version. You should be able to listen. I don't even think you need to subscribe to hear the stream, but because obviously it'll be online, you know, Friday morning late.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait and grab it after midnight when it goes live. But you know, it's a perfect idea.
It's totally came out of nowhere. And actually, you said, you told me before we got started today, your man Kanye West.
Yep.
He's got a release date.
He's got a release date for his album Swish, which will be August 30th.
Which is a Sunday.
Which is a Sunday.
But I did, you know, I looked real quick. It is when the VMAs are. So I'm guessing he'll perform.
He has to.
Why else would you do it on the 30th?
Because Kanye likes doing religious stuff and he's like, hey, it's a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can just see him doing something goofy like that. But the more I think about it, he has a history with the VMAs.
He does.
You've got Love Lockdown.
Yeah.
You've got Runaway.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything prior to those two records, but I'm curious to know if he did anything regarding Late Registration or Graduation.
In general, he loves to perform at award shows. We all know this.
He just loves to perform. Like, he's been performing this whole year.
He has, and obviously we will talk much more about Kanye, but I don't even know if anything that we've heard thus far will be on the album.
That rumor has it that he scrapped the album and totally did it over.
I think that he would, I would not be surprised if he or his people were just completely stunned that All Day didn't take off. Mm. I suspect they thought that was going to be the thing, and it wasn't. And so all of a sudden they had to be like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's honestly, to me, that's encouraging in a way.
Well, what I said was, I think a lot of us are checking for Kanye because it's Kanye and not necessarily because he has generated enough interest for us to say we want to hear this new album. We just want to hear new Kanye. We want to hear new Kanye because his track record is worthy of a listen. But is his buzz or is the interest that we have, is it an interest? Is it new interest or is it interest that he's built up over the years? I don't think he has that much new interest.
This year, maybe not. And certainly not right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
given, now he had enough. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
He had enough with like around May, April when he first launched his Adidas line. That was perfect. Should have just put the album out then.
Right.
You know, All Day was just about to hit the radio. There was a buzz with All Day. The sneakers was out.
Yeah.
Feel like he was doing he did another thing or two.
Yeah, and it came right after Big Sean. And actually, we joked about it on the show. He sort of was like, okay, Big Sean, you got your album out.
Now it's my turn.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Meanwhile, Sci-Eye's over here. Did you hear that record?
Yeah, it's a troll, man. It was a... you know, at first, when I saw the chatter about it, the fact that I saw somebody tweet, oh, there was a... I thought it was a diss until I heard the alarm clock at the end. To me, I have a theory about hip-hop and its lack of account... What?
Oh, no, you have a hip-hop theory.
Oh, shut up.
I'm kidding, man.
Shut up. I have a theory about hip-hop and its lack of accountability. Mm. Like, hip-hop loves to not to own stuff, but not take credit or not to... Hip-hop loves to take credit for stuff, but will not take the blame for stuff. So that was just enough for him to get his frustrations off, but then be like, LOL, just playing. You know what I'm saying? But once I saw Pusha tweet the link, I was like, ah, it's a troll. And then I heard it and I was like, listen, this is the last thing I'm gonna say. If you or anybody else calls any of my music crap, I'm gonna be more offended than like calling it trash, deplorable. Like, crap is such a frustrating word. Like, this is just, this is just crap. Like, dang, you really don't like it, do you? But I figured it was a troll. I figured it was a concept that, you know, whether it's true or not, and I'm sure there's some frustration. I'm going to bring up Sci-Hi a little later in our conversation.
Mm.
But the fact that he put it out that way generates some interest. I would appreciate it if other people tweeted out about it just besides Pusha. Just to kind of tell it, if it's a joke, be like, hey, it's a joke, guys.
If Kanye tweets about it, that's when you know it's a joke.
Right. That's primarily what I'm saying. But, you know, Pusha tweeting it out is almost on some, you know, you woke the line up. Mm. Could be either or. Either I'm in on the joke or you woke the line up. Listen to this. So when I kill him, you know exactly. Or on some Jay-Z Jazzo, here, this is the attention that you want, you know.
Right.
Check it out. Jazzo and Swords. Jazzo. Nobody remembers that.
Jazzo.
No, remember when Rockefeller dissed Jazz over I Get High? That was, you like the beer cane drop the minutes 40. So on the hook, Jay is like, this is what you want. It's the attention you wanted. Jazzo and Swords. Jazzo. He's just like saying his name in sort of a snarky.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody remembers that.
Anyway, anything else you want to talk about before we get into the main?
I would like to know, what were you listening to this summer?
Mm.
Were there any projects that you listened to that you liked that may not necessarily that we haven't talked about, but, you know, was in the Doc wheelhouse, new or old?
I've actually been listening to a lot of those playlists on Apple Music. It's one of those things where it's like when I'm like. Like, for me, morning time at work is, like, my most productive.
Got you.
So, I got my caffeine. I'm, like, okay, this is what came in last night. Here's what I'm doing. Like, I'm getting myself set up for the day. And I'll just go into, like, the suggest. It's called, they call it For You in Apple Music, where it's, like, here's some playlist that things I like. I'll find one, be like, boom, put it on. I'm going. Because we went to that music festival, and there was a lot of artists on there who we weren't that familiar with, me and my wife spent, like, a lot of June in a chunk of July, like, catching up with, like, okay, who are, like, is there anything good here that we want to listen to? Because there was a lot of choices, you know? Do we want to go to this set? Do we want to go to this set? So, I listen to a lot of that stuff. I keep trying to give the Vince Staples album a chance. Did you listen to that at all?
He's funny on Twitter. He earned a follow on Twitter. He's actually a funny follow on Twitter. I did listen to it. You recommended, people were, some of our listeners were asking us to do an emergency episode for the album. So
go ahead.
Well, I'm, you guys kind of like spoiled it. Well, not spoiled it, but you kind of like, I listened to it like, really? Like we need to do an emergency episode. All right. But then, you know, you talked about the production, and then, I had a couple other friends who said, hey, you know, the album's pretty good. And I think this is the thing, because I'm not gonna say whether the album is good or bad, but what I will say is, if you're a relatively new artist, and I'm guilty of this, and we've talked about this before, if you're a new artist, shorter is better.
Mm.
Because eventually, you're going to, you know, and I know how new artists are, like, we feel like we have to, everything that we say is important. So because we want to say it, everybody has to hear it. So you're essentially saying the same thing on like five or six different records when you can take the energy that you channel into those five or six records and make one really amazing record with those five or out of those five or six records. It just the fact that it was like 20 tracks, some of the records started to kind of run into each other production wise, you know, his flow didn't change. You know, and as I get older, I realize like I really enjoy content a lot more. Not just I need content. I just enjoy content. The content wasn't really there for me, something that I would, you know, listen to or whatever. But I totally get his buzz now. I don't get him mixed up with Vic Mensa and everybody else because there's a couple rappers I kind of had like blended in together. I know who Vince Staples is now. You know what I'm saying? So, and he did have a couple beats. Some of the beats on his album were really, really dope. But, you know, if it was like cut into thirds or something like that, because I think it was like 20 tracks.
Yeah.
I would have got like a really good eight. I think I would have liked that a lot more than the 20, because by the time I got to like 13 or 14, I was, there was a little bit of fatigue there. But yeah, I don't, yeah. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, it's all good. I mean, parts of it are good. I agree with what you said. It gets monotonous. It starts to run into one another. Like when you first listen to it, No ID does a lot of production. DJ Dahi helps out. I think there's a Clams Casino beat or two on there. So the pedigree of the production is there until you realize that No ID is doing his best Clips Hell Hath No Fury impersonation.
Mm.
And at first you're like, oh, yes, that's what I want to hear. But then the songs kind of start to run together. He doesn't really change up his flow. And you're right. Like I actually went and re-listened to it real quick. I ran through it before the show. And some of the songs I was just like, yeah. But then some of them I'm like, nope, already heard it. Skip. So yeah. Could have really been honed. Like with I think you're right. The seven or eight best tracks on there as an EP would have been like a really strong statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but I know people like it. No ID. He's, you know, he's between that and Logic. Like, he's really like, you know.
Yeah, I forgot he did some beats. I forgot.
He is really like just sticking around. I mean, for lack of a better term, like he is still here. Yeah. Which for the producers of who were from the same time as him, that's pretty rare.
Absolutely.
Especially for somebody who has always been considered really good, but never was like by most people,
right?
No ID stands, please don't. But by most people, was never considered a great.
He was never, you know, RZA, Havoc,
right.
I mean, even Eric Sermon, like,
Diamond D, like, never on the DITC level, like, not even that sort of thing, you know.
But
he has reinvented himself.
Yep.
And so I will absolutely give him credit for that.
Yep. Definitely.
What else did I listen to this summer? I don't know, man. What'd you listen to?
I got into like a lot of house music this summer, believe it or not. Like my favorite record right now is the Calvin Harris record.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like the How Deep Is Your Love record is phenomenal. I love that song. A lot of K Trinata, a lot of SoundCloud, a lot of Soulection. That stuff is really, 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 really dope. And ever since like Spazzy Rocket has gotten with them, like it's just opened up the door to just a bottomless pit of dope production. And it kind of talks about, I said a while ago, how I feel like production has really evolved and rapping has not as much. So, but like you can tell, like production is just out of here within the last 3 or 4 years. And then there's only been a handful of rappers who have sort of evolved the concept of rapping. You know what I'm saying? So, but as far as albums, Sky Zoo Music for My Friends, that album's going to sound a whole lot better in the fall. It's a fall. It's a colder album. It's not winter, but it's a fall album.
You need a light jacket.
Light jacket. Maybe a raincoat. Yeah, like a little light raincoat, something like that.
Something with a hood.
Yeah. Hoodie. Yeah. Light hoodie. The Internet, Ego Death. Really, really dope album. Listen to that a lot. The Internet is super dope. I need to see them in concert ASAP. Tragic Hero, My Own Worst Enemy. I think I texted you about that album. That album is really, really, really good. I hope I'm saying the name right. I'm probably not. Jay Givens, if you listen to the show, let me know if I'm saying it right. Hiatus Coyote. They have an album out called Choose Your Weapon. Phenomenal, dope album. And finally, you know what album that I'm still listening to?
What's that?
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Really?
Still a really, really good album. The beginning and the end. I still love These Walls. I love All Right Now.
Oh, see, All Right has always been. That song, I'm surprised they took it as long as they did to really push it. But
absolutely. Did you see the video?
Yeah.
Really dope video.
Did you see the video for free?
The funniest video of the year. That video was hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah, because, you know, when we... It was the music. The album was so musical to hear like a rap beat kind of threw me off when I first heard the album. But now as time has gone by, I love All Right.
Right.
I still love the live version of I still read like Mortal Man is just really speaking to me right now. The album is still really, really good. I was able to play it with my daughter and have conversations with her. And she's asking questions about music and things that he's saying. It was dope. So that was my playlist. House music, those five or six albums, and of course my Spotify playlist of 90s hip hop.
You didn't play Cuban Links for your daughter?
Nah, not yet.
We gotta talk about that.
I'll let you do that. When we come to Connecticut, you know what I'm saying?
We'll give her the whole Wu-Tang education.
you used to have the book, right?
Of course I have the book. What are you, crazy?
She's a reader.
Oh, see, there you go. Although it is, you know, it's written by RZA, so there's some.
Is there doot? Is that written out?
No, there should be. You mentioned an audiobook of that. Oh God, how good would that be?
Oh man, that would be hilarious. Again, goal in life is for me to write my biography or some sort of memoirs, just so T.I. can read it. I want T.I., Birdman, and James Earl Jones to read. If I get a Bible with the three of them, just. If I get T.I. to read the Old Testament, like I'm there. I am there.
Some Christmas carols to T.I., you know.
Oh, Christmas carols.
Anyway, I think that wraps it up for Side A of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. Side B will be on clockradiospeakers.com. Check us out there, and we'll catch y'all in a minute.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.